It's not black mold, it's just a feature wall.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95BFM.
Morena, Celine.
Kia ora, Rachel. How are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, yeah.
Excellent. Well, we've got some questions in from the renting populace here at 95BFM, so let's get stuck into it, I reckon. Somebody has texted in saying, there's a couple in my flat who have an extremely toxic relationship. They're up at all hours of the night screaming at each other, and the other day were really, really, really rude to another flatmate of mine. I've told the landlord, who is actually okay, but she said it would be hard to kick them out. We've tried to have flat meetings with them about it, but they're always out of town or busy whenever the meeting comes round. It's getting to the point where I think I need to move out, but do you see any way that we could kick them out? I really like the house and my other flatmates, but feel incredibly stressed and unsafe.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. That sounds very full-on in your living situation, and I think it happens quite commonly as well. The first thing for me is that we talk about flatmates a lot as like common parlance in New Zealand,
yeah.
But there's a legal difference between someone who's a tenant and a flatmate. So firstly, I don't know, you may... if you have all signed a tenancy agreement, then you're all tenants, so you all have a relationship with the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of you is the head tenant, like yourself, or this couple potentially, then they're the one that have the relationship with the landlord, and then the flatmates have kind of a separate relationship with the tenant, which makes it a little bit tricky here. So if they're tenants, and if you've all signed a lease, then your relationship with the landlord might mean, especially if they're being helpful, that they have some mandate to kind of deal with them as tenants that aren't following their residential tenancy agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That does get a bit tricky when you're there then kind of like feeding information to the landlord to try and evict a tenant on certain grounds that you could try and find. There's some bills about antisocial behaviour and things like that, but all of that is quite... You would hope it would take quite a lot to be able to evict someone on those ends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's quite a tricky thing. The other situation is if only one of you is the head tenant and then the rest of you are flatmates, you have to kind of... It's not to do with the landlord, because
right.
It's to do with the flatmates within the flat.
So if, for example, this person who's texted in happens to be the head tenant...
Yeah.
Then they have grounds to make some actions on it, or
you basically have grounds as a flatmate in any scenario. It's just a bit trickier because you don't kind of have the landlord involved with them. So if you're looking at a tenant and landlord dispute, then you go to the tenancy tribunal or those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a dispute between flatmates or a tenant and another flatmate, you go to this disputes tribunal,
okay.
Which is less formal. So that's what I would be looking into, even just calling someone in that area, or I would also call maybe Community Law Centre, Tenants Protection Association. There might be someone else who can give you better advice, but you're probably looking at, if you want to formal something, looking at the disputes tribunal, someone else would have better advice of what you can do. But that's kind of the tricky thing. It's like whether
yeah.
you're dealing with a landlord or dealing with the flatmates themselves, and then if you get the head tenant like kicked out by the landlord, where does that leave you, etc. It's like it's a very tricky situation, but you shouldn't be having to feel nervous and stressed in your home life, so there's definitely things you can do there.
Absolutely. And just to recap, we did talk about this last week, but how do you know if you're the head tenant? That was a question that came up.
Yes, so we did talk about that, and basically it's kind of this tricky thing where I think we have stuff that is like common practice that we talk about around flatting in New Zealand, and then some of that is legal and some of it's just kind of a social thing.
Yeah.
So there's no such thing as a head tenant. There's just the tenants that have signed on to the your renting agreement. So if you've all signed the lease, you're all equally responsible for that as a legal document. So there's no one person who's head. Often what happens is one person signs the lease, they're the tenant legally, and then they have flatmate relationships, so they have other flatmates. The other thing that's important, and for this situation, is you can, it's quite good practice, and I know a lot of people don't do it, but it's good practice to have some kind of flatmate agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of examples of that online on tenancy services, but some kind of agreement so you can say this is kind of what shows what your responsibility is, and this is some grounds for us to kind of
have
mediate.
A formal relationship, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, our next question is from someone who says, I haven't gone flatting before, but I really want to. Do you have any tips or red flags to watch out for? I'm kind of desperate because I'm a bit over living with my parents, but I also don't want to settle for something that's crap. Lol, thank you.
This is so hard because I want to say, move out, go renting. This is exciting. But also, I feel bad pushing people. Yeah, I feel bad pushing people out into these kind of exploitative relationships. But okay, I think the most important thing is people that are super desperate are usually the ones that end up in situations that aren't ideal.
Yeah.
So I would say at least you know you have your parents. So if you get in a situation that doesn't work for you, you can leave and you can go back there. So that's good.
Yeah.
So you're in a position of some support, definitely. I would say the most important thing is just to do kind of your basic reading on what the landlord's responsibilities are to you. And I would look at the Community Law Centre. They have a tenancy guide online. If you read that, that's really helpful. And then you're kind of less likely to be exploited because you know your rights. So you often, if you don't know, if you know a little bit, you'll quite quickly be able to see something that doesn't look legitimate.
Yeah.
And that's a really good start.
Also, a helpful tip as well would be maybe knowing where your money's going and who it's going to and what you're supposed to have back as like your receipts, basically, particularly around things with bonds, who you're paying it to, when you're going to get it back, all that stuff. So that's quite helpful to know as well going in.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe try and flat for the first time with a friend that's done it before, and then you'll be in a safer place as well.
Excellent. The last one we've got here is from someone who says, my name is on the lease, but I want to go on holiday at the end of the year. Am I allowed to sublet my room so I can pay rent? It's a fixed term contract for 1 year, and I really want to go away for a bit.
Okay, I'm not so sure about sublets because they get, it again, gets this like confusing thing where it's, I know it's really common practice, in particular in Auckland, to kind of rent your room for 2 months when you go to Berlin or something, like back in the day,
pre-pandemic day.
But from what I can see, basically there could be a clause in your tenancy agreement that could say no sublets, and then you're kind of doing it underhand there. You're meant to have a written agreement from your landlord to say that you're allowed to do that, so written consent in some way, but they're not allowed to unreasonably withhold their consent. So if you have a good relationship with your landlord, I'm sure they would understand that you have to go away for work for a little bit, or there might be a way to organise that totally above board and legally. But I know people do it anyway. I think the thing that I would just put here basically is that if you've gone away and kind of informally sublet your room and your name is still on the lease, you're still liable for any damages. So the landlord will really see you as the person who is liable for anything that happens while you're away. So just, if you're going to do that, and I'm not going to say you are, find someone you trust. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Celine.
No problem.
Appreciate your advice as per usual. We'll talk to you in a fortnight. And if anyone has questions that they want answered, you can text them in between now and then at any time, and we'll make sure they get put to you next time.
Perfect.
Cheers for that.
See you later.
A plague on both your investment houses. That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.